start out a service like this and you're ready to preach. So if you got something on the stove, it might not make it. It might be we might start some burnt offerings here or something. But if you had to think of two bookend miracles in the life of Jesus, what would they be? Bookend miracles, the thing that at one end and the other, his birth and his resurrection. And I think it's important that we remember those two events and think about them very carefully, because if he hadn't been born, he wouldn't be here and we wouldn't have salvation. If he hasn't resurrected, we would have kind of a dead hope, right? There wouldn't be a hope at all. And so we've had, did you have a good Lord's Supper service? Were you blessed in your Lord's Supper service? I went to Devil's Lake and it was pretty amazing. All I did was preach, but I got to wash Asher's feet. That was fun. I got it on camera, so if you don't stay out of the way, I'm going to show it to you at some point, because I'm really excited about it. He kind of sat on my lap, and I put his feet down in the water and washed them, and that was pretty awesome. You know, as a pastor, you do a lot of fun things, and I mean fun in a good sense, not just ha-ha fun, but good fun. When you get to dedicate your children, when you get to baptize them, when you get to perform the wedding ceremony, and now I'm washing my grandson's feet. One of the things we don't do as much is focus on the resurrection. We kind of do it all year round, but after Jesus was in the tomb and 3 days and three nights, we know that he rose again. And today's message is, I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't just say, I will be raised or I will raise others. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. We're going to talk about that, but I want to take you through a few of the I ams in the book of John. I hadn't heard any sermons of this in this vein, but I've heard there's seven I ams in the book of John. And this is not one of the seven, but we start out with Abraham saying, with Jesus saying, before Abraham was, I am. His pre-existence before Abraham. And kind of an indefinite pre-existence. When you say, it is, you know, the word is means it's kind of an indefinite thing. That's something that exists. John 36:35, he says, I am the bread of life. And what does that mean? What, you know, Moses gave them bread in the desert, gave them manna in the desert. I am the bread of life. If you eat this bread, you won't die. The bread of life. And they got all confused when he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. But symbolically or spiritually, how are we digesting Jesus? Are we taking him in? Are we feeding on his words? He says, whoever hears my words and does them will be like a wise man. Are we taking in Jesus in the various ways that he comes through the Scripture and through the Spirit? He says, I am the light of the world. If there's a light in the world right now, What is it? It isn't the sun or the moon or the stars. The light that eliminates and removes darkness, that illuminates our heart, is Jesus. To know Him, the only, to know Thee, the only true God, and to know Your Son who You sent, was what Jesus said. I am, in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. Are we part of His flock? Do we recognize His ownership? A kind of a conjunction with that, I am the door, the gate to the sheepfold. So how do we get in? You know, they kind of give you a picture of the shepherd, and he'll build up a kind of a wall of something, thorns or whatever. You know, we say put a hedge of thorns around us to keep out the enemy and to keep us in. But they didn't have barbed wire fence back then, so they would pile up have a hedge grow, and they would have this sheepfold, and then put the sheep in there, and anything that climbs up over the wall or gets in any other way is a thief or a robber or an animal. But to enter the sheepfold, how do you have to get in? Well, they give the picture of the shepherd sleeping at the opening. The only thing that gets in is what He lets in. He is the door to the sheepfold. He says, I am, and there's three things, the way. How do we haven't seen the Father, we don't know the way to get there, Thomas said, and Jesus said, I'm the way. That's the way you get there. There's no other way. I am the truth. He is the ultimate truth. You know, we have, over the years, we accumulate a bunch of doctrines, and sometimes there's 39, and then there's 37, and then there's 24, and there's 12, and then we'll probably go back to 35 again, but ever, you know, and there are doctrinal truths. But what's the one truth that gives you eternal life? That is the truth of Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And I am the life. There's life in no other. There's salvation in no other. One name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. He says, I am the vine. In John 15. I'm the vine, you are the branches. I want to read that one because my problem is I try to get some of these things in there and I just get on one of them and I want to stay there because it's so amazing and beautiful and powerful. But he says, I am the true vine, verse 1. Thy Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He purges it. Man, that's a tough process. What are you going to have to give up? What's going to be taken out of your life? What's going to be cleansed out of your life? He purges it so that, not just to be mean, but so it can bear more fruit. These are things that hinder, and they can be good things, hinder your fruit production because you're so busy doing things that aren't things of the kingdom. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide. That doesn't mean just kind of come to church once a week, does it? What does it mean to abide in Jesus Christ? What does it mean to stay, to make your residence, to make His residence in you and your residence in Him? Abide in me and I in you. See, He's the vine, we're the branches. He's the only vine. He's the only way, place of connection. And unless we're connected through Him, we're not connected. And if we're not connected through Him as a branch that is cut off, what does it do? It withers, it dies, and it's burned up. Except ye abide in me, no more can ye, go back to verse 4. abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. In fact, did you know unless you're abiding in Jesus, there are no prayers to be answered? But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What an amazing, powerful promise of God. Are his words abiding in you? Are you meditating on them? Are you writing them down in your hearts? Is it changing your life? Because the power of the gospel is it will change your life. It'll write a new chapter. It'll give you strength that you didn't know you had. It will open the doors where there's fruit, a fruitful life. In the things that you do, God will bless it and multiply it. And what better blessing is to see people's lives changed through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and renewed and given salvation and offered eternal life. The last one that we're going to deal with is I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is not only does he resurrect people, he is the resurrection. He embodies the resurrection. To know Jesus is to have eternal life. In John chapter 5, verse 24, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes in him that sent me possesses right now inside of you, present tense, has eternal life and will not be judged. Do you know that? We're going to come to the judgment, but we will not be judged. Because he'll see Jesus' blood covering us, Jesus' life covering us, and our sins blotted away. There will be no sins held to our account. They're forgiven entirely. He will not be judged, but has crossed over from death into life. Are you crossed over yet? Have you made the step from death? Because whatever you get in this life that is not Jesus Christ and his salvation is death now and will be death. Have you crossed over from death into life? Have you made that choice? Have you made that decision? Are you definitely over here? Or are you kind of still over here? You know, was it Elijah says, how long will you halt between two opinions? In the middle is not the safest place to be when you're on a busy highway. And if you're sitting on a picket fence, that's not too comfortable either. You got to be on one side or the other. Have you crossed over from death into life? Have you received and believed and received Jesus Christ? Is he your personal Savior? Is he the Lord of your life? Very truly, I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. His voice is going out. In fact, you're part of his voice if you're living for Jesus, aren't you? You are the ones to carry out that message. Well, we have this story surrounding this verse that says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And it's a story of a man named Lazarus. And I think Jesus sometimes did his miracles in such a way to punctuate, to highlight, to bring out a truth. And John seems to put that together in his gospel. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Wouldn't that be awesome to be loved by Jesus? He loves us, yes, but this special connection there, apparently. I don't know whether it, you know, it was the fact that Mary, you know, that he went to their home a lot, or whether he had fellowship meal with them. I know I like fellowship meals, don't you? I like to sit around a table and eat and visit. Not just here, but your house too. In my house. Maybe it was that was where he stayed sometimes the night, and they all opened up their home to him. You know, he says, inasmuch you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me, and I hope that you have a home that welcomes, that invites, that blesses lots of people, different ones. And so when Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory. You know, you never think of sickness as something that can glorify God, but you know, it can. It can. Through it. And now Jesus loved Mary and her sister Martha and Lazarus. And so you have this situation where Jesus' friend, somebody cared a lot about, cared about the family, was sick. And he said, this is not a sickness unto death. And so when Jesus heard this, he said, it's not a sickness unto death. And you know, there are some sicknesses that are not exactly to death and not exactly, I don't know what else you'd call them. Do we get sick if we have bad habits and make bad choices? Do we? Can we? God's word wouldn't be true if it didn't say what you sow, which is what you're going to reap. You know, if I eat too much, I'm going to get fatter. You know, if I take harmful things into my body, I'm going to have problems. If I let myself get stressed and worried and frustrated and keep in that state constantly, of course, there's always things that do a little bit of that, but if I stay in that state, I'm tearing down what God has given me. Some things just come because of genetics. You know, I happen to be a certain height, about the height of my dad, really. My mom was a little shorter. My brothers were taller. We get certain things because of that, don't we? Harry looks like his granddad. I mean, man, take a picture of him and his grandfather. Say, get a little beard there, and you just see Grandpa Henry, don't we? And along with that, we may have certain things that are weaker in our bodies than they should be, and so genetics sometimes happens. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:45 that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends his rain on the just and unjust. And so, you know, we get things happen in life. I mean, I'd like it to rain whenever I want it to rain, and so that it would grow the crops, or so that my grass would be green, or so that I want to go out and play. I can, but you know, things happen in life, don't they? Ecclesiastes says, chapter 9, verse 11, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong, nor does the food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant. All the time. I'll insert that. Or favor to the learned, but time and chance happens to them all. Hebrews talks about sometimes when have you ever been off track spiritually? What kind of father would God be if he didn't do something to get us back on track? Wouldn't allow something, you know, I always say if I'd been a really good football player, I might have never come to the Lord. If I'd have been good with the attractive to the women, I'll put it that way, I might not have ever come to the Lord. If I'd have been wealthy, I might not have come to the Lord. You know? And when I'm out of the way of the Lord, I'm glad he gives me a little spanking now and then and pushes me back on the right path. So you have that as well. This sickness is not unto death, but it's to the glory of God. So there's a sickness unto death. There's things that there's healings and whatnot, and there's some things in between that we don't even know how to categorize. But you know something? We can use it all to the glory of God. You know, it doesn't matter your losses or your crosses, as one author put it, but I know the Lord. Doesn't matter. Come wealth or come health or come whatever there is, am I still the Lord's? Yes, I am. I'm going to be the Lord's through thick and thin, whether I have a place to preach or whether I have whatever in this life, I am the Lord's. I hope that's your absolute determination. There's nothing but nothing, whether height or depth or angels or principalities or powers or things present, I am the Lord's. And we need to keep that right in front of us. By the way, do we want everything we pray for? We think we do at the time, but then sometimes we figure out maybe that wasn't the best thought or the best prayer. I go through a little thing where I kind of a deal where you say, is that good or bad? You know, I got a painful situation. You tell me, is it good or bad? I got a painful situation. Is that good or bad? Is that good or bad? I got a painful situation. Tell me, come on, which is it, good or bad? Huh? Okay, I'll say bad. No, that's good, because that puts me on my knees before the Lord. The painful situation doesn't go away. Is that good or bad? It's getting worse. I say the painful situation is getting worse. Oh, that's bad. No, that's good, because I pray harder and longer in those cases, don't I? Still doesn't go away, good or bad. You say, say good. Say bad. Say bad. No, that's good. Because then I get somebody else to pray with me, and that's good, right? And it still doesn't go away. It gets a little worse. Is that good or bad? Bad? No, good. Because then I get the whole church praying for me and praying together and united and stronger. And then finally, God heals or does or works. And then not only I'm rejoicing, but the whole family of God is rejoicing. Just remember that a delay in God's timing is a good thing, because he's an on-time God and he knows how to do things. He isn't just fumbling around at it. He's an almighty God. I forgot to throw in there fasting. That would do all of us maybe a little bit of good too. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. It says on chapter 11 of John says, on his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. He delayed his coming. He delayed his coming. You know, sometimes when God delays, but remember, he's always there. He delays the answer that you want. Not his answer, but delays the answer you might be looking for. It says, and had been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany is less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And brothers, sisters, spend time comforting. If you just weep with somebody, if you just bring a dish or something, or if you just a card, or tell them you love them, you don't have to explain. You don't have to explain God. You just love them. You just care about them. You take them with, go with them through, side by side with them through the loss, through the pain, and let them know that you love them. Anyhow, and there's a kind of an ongoing theme through this various places. It says, Lord, had you been here, my brother wouldn't have died when Martha found out that he was there. And then Mary said the same thing, and the Jews said the same thing. Had you been here, this ongoing theme, had you been here, well, the Lord is there. And apparently, had he been there physically, the brother wouldn't have died, probably. But so that they could see the glory of God. Our harshest and difficult, most difficult trials are so that we can get this new vision, this new picture of God's glory, so we can realize his power. You know, if he just healed him, he's probably had just a fever at the beginning. So what? Fevers go away. Coughs quit. You know, things like that. But no, he had died, and God wanted to punctuate this miracle by letting him be dead for 4 days. Everybody knew he was in the ground. The cave was covered up. He was wrapped in the grave wrappings that they had. There is no doubt. And she says to him, Jesus said, he will rise again. And Martha says to him, yes, in the resurrection. She knew the truth about where the dead were and what would happen to them and when. Yes, he will rise in the resurrection, but he's dead now. At the last day, not now, but at the last day, the resurrection will happen. There in verse 24. And Jesus came out with this amazing statement, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection. It isn't just in the future. It's something, eternal life exists right now. And the one who believes in me, even though he were dead, even though they die, the one who believes in me will live even though they die. We do not need to go through this life with the hope of the world. We need to go through this life with the hope of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. If he's raised, then we'll be raised. If he isn't raised, we are of all men most miserable. He was raised. The tomb is empty. And I want that to be the joy of the resurrection needs to live in we as Christians. It needs to be the power. They preached his death, burial, and resurrection. And the resurrection is the power. We can know the power of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ living inside of us. We do not have a dead Savior. We have a Savior that was raised and is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. Don't live a dead faith. Live a living faith. Have that living water springing up within you. Have that joy that goes beyond, that peace that passes all understanding, the joy the world can't know. Because we know the one at the other end and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So as we go through our time with the Lord's Supper, solemn, important time, but remember, yes, he's in the grave there, but he's resurrected, and he's alive now, and we serve a living Savior all the days of our life. God bless you, and we're going to close with a song, and that is number 167.